Blog Talk Radio.
Well, you know, if we look in the dictionary, we'll have very different definitions for grace, such as grace, a girl's name, a female's name, or grace, when we say grace, meaning saying the blessing at the dinner table, that would be, that's considered grace. Also, but the grace we're talking about is the unmerited favor that the Lord has for us, the grace that, as in mercy and grace and forgiveness, the unconditional love that the Lord has for us. So let's dive in and see what one of our dictionaries and concordances says, and I'm reading tonight from the Serendipity Bible. The Serendipity Bible is a personal and group study Bible, and it has lessons that you can go through during the year, and there's something for absolutely everyone in this Bible. It's for women and for men, lessons for men and for women and for children and for families, for married, for singles, and the different life issues that we may come up against or different time periods of our life that the Bible and the Bible study that's included in the Bible address. According to this Bible dictionary, grace is an undeserved favor or gift, the undeserved forgiveness, kindness, and mercy that God gives us. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Within the next couple of weeks, I have had an opportunity to share with some women, with a women's group at a retreat in a small group. And my topic is grace, so I thought that it would be fitting for us to discuss it this evening online through the radio, our Blog Talk Radio program. So I'd like everyone to please join in and share in this discussion. If you've called in, I will be opening up the lines shortly. So let's begin with the first scripture, and that's Psalm 118. Psalm 118. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Psalm 118. And we're going to begin with the Psalm 118:1. And we're not reading the whole piece, but it says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. So when we read this, I want you to think about, what does that mean, that his love endures forever? Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. What do they mean by love? What does love mean? Well, for me, love means forgiveness. Love means acceptance. Love means always knowing that that you have a place. This love that we talk about when we talk about the Lord, to give thanks to the Lord for his love. For he is good and his love endures forever, that he loves us. He loves us. There's nothing we can do to come out from under the love of our Father, that he loves us. And for those of us who have experienced the unconditional love of a parent, you can understand that. For those of us who have not, sometimes it's difficult for people to understand the grace of God. They think that they can fall in and out of favor with the Lord, but the Lord loves us. And the proof of his love is in his Son, Jesus Christ, that the sacrifice of his Son. As we go into the Lenten season, today was it was Ash Wednesday, or is Ash Wednesday. It's just a reminder of a calendar reminder of, for us, of the season, the days that lead up to Easter. So I'm going to read a devotional. I'm going to read a devotional that I picked up from Christian Post. And if you just bear with me and listen, please. It says, give thanks to the Lord for for he is good. His love endures forever. And that's Psalm 118, verse 1 again. Have you ever received a gift that you didn't deserve? The gift was given to you out of love. God is so great that he gives us his gift because of his love for us. Grace is God showing his love to you even though you don't deserve it. You can't earn God's grace. You do not deserve to be safe from sin and to have eternal life. But God showed his grace by saving you from sin's punishment when you trusted in Jesus as your Savior. God also shows his grace by giving you strength and guidance and by taking care of you each day. God, by his grace, gives you strength to handle difficult problems in your life. Isn't God's grace wonderful? If you know Jesus as your Savior, you can be thankful that God saved you by his grace. The Bible says, "For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith." And that's Ephesians 2:8. You can also depend on God each day for the grace you need to live for him. Because God shows his grace to you, you should show his grace to others. Have you ever thanked God for his grace in your life? We have to be so careful. And again, that was from the Christian Post devotional. Amen. Amen. We don't deserve it, by no means, but the Lord gives us, extends us grace. And if we look at some of the laws, like especially those Levitical laws for today, we could be very judgmental or really could be struck dead because of breaking those laws and living in sin. I praise God that we don't have to do the offering of bringing the fatted calf and the goat and two turtle doves and, you know, the offerings that were given up, the sin offering. We don't have to do that because Jesus Christ was the final offering. That was it. It was done. It was finished. It was finished. Yeah. And we can go before the Lord just as we are, not through a priest, not through a priest, but as we are, can go to God ourselves and ask forgiveness. We can go to God ourselves knowing that he loves us so much. So that was the end of that. The end of that type of sacrifice, the end of that type of blood, of that type of blood sacrifice. But we understand it so well because of the Old Testament and because of the teaching of the value of the blood economy, of what blood and what life means, that we understand that life is so precious, that for someone to give their life for us, for me, that he knew that I was coming along, that the Father God knew that I would make mistakes and loved me so much that the sacrifice of his son, the sacrifice of his only begotten son, was made for me. Now, some people don't understand that and don't want to accept it, and some Christians may even waver with their theology as to what they believe or how they believe in grace. There's some people that believe that I can do whatever I want to and I can sin as much as I want to because God's grace is sufficient for me and his grace abounds, that his grace is unending. And I believe his grace does abound and I believe his grace is unending. But I don't believe that someone who is spirit-filled, I don't believe that someone who is under the blood of Jesus and who understands the sacrifice that was made for us would tempt the Lord like that, would play, and I almost said Russian roulette, but would play with God like that. This isn't a play thing. Our desire should be to please the Lord, for yes, to show thanks for that grace. Grace is a beautiful word, and it's truly a biblical word. It's a biblical truth that even though we don't deserve it, that we've been given grace, that we've been given pardon, pardon for our offenses, pardon for our sin, that we've been given that. So let's explore some of the biblical facts regarding God's grace. The good news says that God's grace is sufficient. It's sufficient. And we call that grace. So first let's go to Galatians 1, verses 6 through 9. Galatians 1, verses 6 through 9. I'll give you some time to look for it, but I'll keep talking. There's nothing like dead air. And I always tell you that the easiest way to find Galatians is right after Acts and look at God's Electric Power Company. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians Company. God's Electric Power Company. That's how I came to learn it. Okay, so Galatians 1, verses 6 to 9. No other gospel. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let him be eternally condemned. So how does this figure into grace? Because it's the gospel, and it's our warning. It's a warning to us on be sure. If anyone is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let him be eternally condemned. That we need to be careful with to adhere to the word of God, to listen to the word of God, and to adhere to it. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 12:7-10. 2 Corinthians 12:7-10. 2 Corinthians, they're going to be left in the Bible, left from Ephesians, turn left. 2 Corinthians 12:7-10. To keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassing great revelation, there was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness and insults and hardship and persecutions and difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. I have made a fool of myself, but you drove me to it. Uh-oh, am I in the wrong place, Brother Clay?
No, you're in 11.
I'm in 11? Okay. I ought to have been condemned by you, for I am not in the least inferior to the super apostles, even though I am nothing. The things that mark an apostle, signs, wonders, and miracles, were done among you with great perseverance. How were you inferior to the other churches except that I was never a burden to you? Forgive me this wrong. Now I am ready to visit you for the third time, and I will not be a burden to you, because what I want is not your possession, but you. After all, children should not have but parents for their children. So I will very gladly spend for you everything I have and expend myself as well. If I love you more, will you love me less? Praise God. So Brother Clay, do you have anything to say on this?
And how we should not think more of ourselves than we are, putting ourselves almost like a god. And once we do that, put ourselves in that position, we are given to Jesus Christ and our God. I want to see that that's what it does.
I think about the sacrifices that those that came before us gave, and that we need to honor the teaching and the sacrifices of our parents, grandparents, their forefathers. So I think that, like here, Paul was talking about what was sacrificed to, that we can't put ourselves above Christ's death. Or think ourselves more able than Christ. You know, the Lord did leave and say that we would do miracles and have signs, miracles and wonders, that we would do healing and so forth. But that doesn't mean that we're on the same level as Jesus Christ. That means that we should, like you say, follow him and honor what was given, honor. So he extends the grace. So even as we make mistakes and as we grow strong and as we mature and come into better understanding, his grace is extended. Great God.
And look at this also, you know, look at that in terms of how we should respond. Whatever situation that we can hear God saying this, you know, the word is saying that even our weakness were made strong. And so often in our flesh, we become weak. The things that we're going through in our life. And when we are at our weakest, then we're at our strongest, because then we lean and depend more on Jesus Christ. So it says, my grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient. In other words, don't, even though that you may be weak, or you may have trials or tribulations that may bring you down, that we are not to worry about it. My grace is sufficient. You know, it's saying that whatever we're going through, you know, that God's grace is sufficient, whatever it is we're going through.
Amen. Let's look at Galatians 1, verse 15. Galatians chapter 1, verse 15. And you know what? This is where Paul was called by God. This goes back to right after no other gospel, not believing in any other gospel. Galatians chapter 1, verse 15. It reads, but when God, who set me apart from birth and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his son to me so that I might preach among the Gentiles, I did not consult any man, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to see those who were apostles before I was. But I went immediately into Arabia and later returned to Damascus. So when you are aware of God's grace, you don't have to consult anyone. When you hear the Lord speak to you, you go. When you're appreciative of his grace, when you realize the sacrifice that was made. And I keep saying sacrifice as we, you know, are, as we say in the Lenten season and we prepare for our Resurrection Sunday, that Paul had a revelation that it wasn't about him and it wasn't about the other apostle. It was about getting on the road. It was about spreading the good news, spreading the gospel. He said, if we go back to 11, he says, I want you to know, brothers, that the gospel I preached is not something that man made up. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my previous way of life in Judaism, how intensely I persecuted the church of God and tried to destroy it. I was advanced in Judaism beyond many Jews of my own age and was extremely zealous for the traditions of my fathers. But when God, who set me apart from birth and called me by his grace to reveal his Son in me so that I might preach him among the gospel, among the Gentiles, I did not consult any man, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to see those who were apostles before. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So he's saying, Paul is saying that even in the womb that the Lord had chose him, even in the womb the Lord chose him and set him apart. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Do we have any comments? I'm opening up lines. I'm opening up lines. If you're calling in, your line is open right now. Do we have any comments? Any comments? I can hear you. Let's go to the next scripture. Man is saved by grace. The heart is established by grace, and we are justified by grace. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 2, verses 5, and then verse 8. Ephesians 2, verse 5, read, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace that you have been saved. We didn't earn it. We don't deserve it. But it's God's grace that we've been saved. It's through God's grace that we've been extended the privilege of being adopted and being part of the vine. It's by his grace then we will experience eternity with Jesus Christ and those saints that have gone on before us. It's by his grace that our hearts are changed and my heart has been pricked. By his grace that we're able to look at others and give to others and have mercy for other people because he has been so gracious and so merciful with us. It's by his grace. Praise God.
Amen.
Praise God. And let's look at verse 8. Verse 8 says, for it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourself. It is the gift of God, not by work, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Jesus Christ to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. It's not that you can work your way into heaven. You can't do so, say so many Hail Marys or pay so much money, you know, penance to the church or to something, you know, to some organization to get into heaven. You can't do your volunteer work and think that's enough that I'll get into heaven. It's by his grace.
It's by his grace. If I never lifted a finger and I said that I asked the Lord to come into my heart and I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and if I understood the understanding the power of the blood of Jesus, it's by that grace of the acceptance, the grace that the Lord has extended that grace to me. Praise God. Praise God. What an honor it is to be in the family of God. What an honor it is to be called a child of God. What an honor it is to even share the gospel. What an honor. What an honor. Let's turn to Hebrews 13:9, please. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 9. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 9 reads, "Do not be carried away by all kinds of strange teachings. It is good for our hearts to be strengthened by grace, not by ceremonial foods, which are of no value to those who eat them. We have an altar from which those who minister at the tabernacle have no right to eat." God. Oh, I want to keep reading. See, we can be free from legalism. We can be free from tradition. It's God's grace. So it's not about doing the traditional things, the legal things, the things that we do just because we've always done them. I don't know why we started doing this, but this is what we always done, so we're going to keep on doing it. It's about the grace of God. This scripture again says, and we start with number 7, "Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith." Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Do not be carried away by all kinds of strange teaching. It is good for our hearts to be strengthened by grace. By God's mercy, it's good for our hearts to be strengthened by the forgiveness and the love that he has for us, not by ceremony, not by tradition, not by ceremonial feedings of building us up so that we look good among men. It's about us accepting the grace humbly, which are of no value to those who eat them. What is of no value? The ceremony, the tradition, the repetitive things that we do because it's part of history, but it's not part of what the Lord has called us to do. That's what's of no value, that it doesn't feed your soul. It's not feeding your spirit. We're supposed to put ourselves in a place where we can eat the right things, the things that feed our spirit, and those things are the things that are of the Lord. The word of the Lord feeds us. Praise God. Praise God. Let's look at Titus 3, verse 7. Do you have it represented? Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3, verse 7. Is so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. So doing what is good, that comes under doing what is good. And I'm going to read this whole section from Titus 3:1 to Titus 9. "Remind the people to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready to do whatever is good, to slander no one, to be peaceable and considerate, and to show true humility toward all men. At one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of our God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy, he saved us through the washing of renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. This is a trustworthy saying, and I want you to stress these things so that those who have trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good. These things are excellent and profitable for everyone. Praise the Lord. It also goes on to say, but avoid foolish controversies and genealogies and arguments and quarrels about the law, because these are unprofitable and useless. Warn a divisive person once and then warn him a second time, and after that, having nothing to do with him. You may be sure that such a man is warped and sinful. He is self-condemned. So this section is just going back about doing what's right, because it's about grace. It's about the grace that the Lord has, and that we should extend, and we should extend to one another. Grace, grace, unmerited grace, unmerited favor, unmerited pardon, pardon, undeserving, completely undeserving. But still, there's God's grace, his promise of eternal salvation through Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Moreover, we render acceptable service by grace, and grace imparts everlasting consolation. Let's look at Hebrews 12, chapter 12, verse 28. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28. They say, what is that joke about Hebrews that we know that men cooked in the biblical times because Hebrews? You're not laughing. Is anybody laughing with me? Hebrews chapter 13. No. Sorry, Hebrews 12, verse 28. Hebrews 12, verse 28 and 29. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. Amen. Amen. He's a consuming fire. He is, we don't refuse him. It's his grace, his mercy, his love, his loving kindness that he takes us in, that he has given us. We don't refuse him. We listen to him. We are thankful because are in the kingdom of God, and the kingdom of God is unshakable. It is unshakable. It is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. 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 Can we please turn to 2 Thessalonians, verse chapter 2, verse 16. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 16. May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loves us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word. The Lord wants us to stand firm. No matter what, stand firm. No matter what, stand firm. So that doesn't, our salvation and belief in Jesus Christ doesn't mean that you're not going to have to endure hardship or challenges, that life won't happen. But what we're saying is that stand firm, because his word does not change and his word does not return void. Amen, amen. And that's, let's go back in 2 Thessalonians. We'll start at verse 13. Stand firm. But we ought always to thank God for you, brothers. Loved by the Lord, because from the beginning God chose you to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and through belief in the truth. He called you to this through our gospel, that you might share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brothers, stand firm and hold to the teachings we passed on to you, whether by word of mouth or by letter. May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word to stand firm, to stand firm. So he gives us, it's his grace that gives us, renders us acceptable servants by grace. And it's his grace that gives us everlasting consolation that we are his, that we are loved, and that we are never alone. God's grace also makes us better people and helps us in time of need. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 15. First Corinthians 15, verse 9 and then verse 10. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 9 and verse 10. Verse 9, for I am the least of the apostles and do not even deserve to be called an apostle because I persecuted, but by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them. Yet, not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Whether then it was I or they, this is what we preach, and this is what you believe. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Any comments from our audience? The resurrection of Christ. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's look at Hebrews 4, verse 16. Hebrews 4, verse 16. Hebrews 4, verse 16. Well, we thank you all for being here with us this evening. And if you listen through the archives, if you would just send us a little note telling us what you think, comments, or questions or so forth, just let us know who you are. We'd appreciate it if you, on the Blog Talk site online, if you would follow us. We'd like to follow you also, and we would like to be in connection with you through communication online or otherwise. We thank you for joining us, and remember that we're here every Wednesday at 7 o'clock. So we're looking again at Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. It says, let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. See, we need to know that we know that we know. As people used to say, when I first recommitted my life to Christ, I should say when I first became spirit-filled, I would hear the more mature sisters say that, well, you have to know that you know that you know that you know. And I say, what does that mean? You know, what does that mean? But now I understand that you have to know, like they say, deep down in your knower. You have to know in your heart, in your gut. You have to know it in your gut so that Jesus is our high priest. And once again, can I read that one again, Brother Clyde? Okay, that was Hebrews chapter 4. Verse 16, I'm going to go back to 14. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. That Jesus is our friend, he's our brother, he's our Savior, that he understands because he was tempted also. He understands, and the Lord understands the sacrifice. And we as in our sinful nature understand the sacrifice that was made for us and what we, if we had to pay for the sin, what we would owe. It would be our lives. It would be our lives. We have to remember that the penalty for sin, the penalty for broken law, the penalty for broken covenant is death. Death, immediately. The wages of sin are death. And so where we read in the Old Testament where people were struck dead immediately, like if we look back at like Judah's son, struck dead immediately for being disobedient, immediately struck dead. We look at in the Old Testament, even the beginning of the New Testament, the sacrifices that were brought to the temple when it was time for the festivals, for the different festivals and the high holy days, Passover, the Passover festivals and so forth, the sacrifices that were brought. It was a blood economy. But the blood economy, the final blood that flowed was the blood of Jesus Christ, the final sacrifice, the perfect lamb. He was without sin, and he was slain for us, for our benefit, the final sacrifice. It's as if the Lord says, maybe you'll get it now. Maybe you'll understand the sacrifice now. The innocent blood was shed for us. The perfect sacrifice, the perfect Lamb of God, not a blemish on him, no sin, perfectly created, perfectly, a perfect life, a life of giving, a life of sacrifice, a life of benevolence, a life of mercy and teaching that he showed us. Rebellion against the Sadducees and the Pharisees, but perfection in him. And he's been telling us that we don't even have to be perfect, that we can come just as we are in our imperfection, that we can come just as we are, and grace will be bestowed on us. We have 90 seconds, and I want to thank you so much for listening. We can go on and on about grace, and maybe we will talk about grace on another day. But if you would please commit yourself to reading more about grace and what it means, what God's grace truly means, I promise you, you'll be shouting. You see, every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above, comes from James. And that gift of grace comes from Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, because of him, because of his blood, because of that final sacrifice. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for this time of study on grace. We thank you, Father God, that if I've been in error in any way, Father God, that you would correct me, dear Lord. We thank you, Father God, that for the every ear that hears this message, Father God, that they will be blessed, Father God, that they will draw closer to you, Father, and they would explore, Father God, your word, Father God, and what you have to say about grace, that they will come to an understanding that it is your unmerited favor, that it is your unfailing love. This your unearned gift, gift in grace. In Jesus' name, we thank you, we praise you, we worship you. Amen.